Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals 3 Rehab Podcast for Episode 7. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Gotta be honest, not feeling too great. Decided, good idea, giant bowl of mac and cheese in the 3 minutes I had before this podcast. Woo! Gonna get through it, though. Gonna get through it. Thanks, everyone, for your support during this difficult time.
We're here for you.
You...
Cheese and peas.
You had a lovely summer Friday today, did you not, Brian?
I did. I was ready to record 7 hours ago. I was out of work.
Oh, my God.
Rock.
It was... When you said 7 hours ago, I was like, what do you mean, 7 a.m.? But that was only 1:30.
Updated, it's 8:36 local time as we are recording.
Friday night.
Woohoo! Live it up!
Let's play some NSYNC Just Got Paid. Is it a pay cycle? I don't know.
I think I paid today. Woohoo!
All right. I am procrastinating because I have to begrudgingly apologize to the citizens of Nebraska who are imports who are not just dropped off there biologically. For those of you who just think I'm high on mac and cheese, Brian and I last week started our Are You the One coverage. And I said some shit about Nebraska that upset people, but I say it with love from another shit on state. Anyway.
I just love that they have a big following in Nebraska. So good. Get those flyover states.
Don't get yourself in trouble, Brian. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. We're going to be covering that bi-weekly. If you are not a watcher of Are You the One, maybe just listen to it. Get a preview on these people who
will be on the challenge. Will be on the challenge. Yeah, give it a shot.
And on that note, thank you to our lovely 5-star reviewers this week, Trent 84 and Survivor Van. I think it's MM Survivor Van. Survivor Van. So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Brian, for joining me today.
Aw, thanks for coming again. Thanks for being here.
All right, this is horrible.
So we just jump right into Tony being very needy of Camilla.
Yeah. Did you think this was like some bad... I normally have been complimentary of the editing of the show. I feel like this was some terrible forced editing of like Camilla and Devin dancing and Tony like breaking a sweat, looking pensive. Like, and then they flash back to their fight, their one fight three times.
He was in deep thought about Camilla venting during like one confessional that they had after a challenge. Like that, he couldn't get over that. I mean, he did seem actually angry. Like there was a she did confront them about why you're looking angry.
Yes, definitely turned out to, you know, bear fruit here. But I just picture like Tony's thought cloud not being their one fight, but just like a dancing monkey with the cymbals.
I just love when they do flashbacks of stuff that happened, like, and they showed in the previously.
in case you forgot.
That's an MTV favorite, especially when they do it like 30 seconds after the previously. Like, wait, there's more.
Yeah. Did this catch you by surprise? Like Tony's pent up aggression towards Camilla?
Yeah. I don't think, did they really hint at it? I mean, they hinted at Camilla being a little upset, but did they really hint at like Tony being like a needy guy that like needed congrats all the time? Like I didn't get that vibe from him at all.
I will say I clearly retract my accusation from last week that Sarah is too like disingenuous in her congrats, because apparently that's exactly what Tony would want in a partner.
Yeah, who knows? Bananas might be ripping open bags of popcorn or something. They've been slamming it to the ground if Sarah's not so cheery.
Eggs and popcorn, public enemies number one.
Don't be wasting foods. The kids in Africa are hungry, says
Amanda.
That
was hysterical. Let's just jump to that for a second. Please explain for the non-Are You the One fans the significance of the eggs.
A scene in Are You the One, people in the Are You the One house were having a food fight, and Amanda got upset, not because some of the food like ended up on her. She was upset because people were wasting food when there are hungry kids in Africa.
And yeah, when Tony goes like Hulk smash on the eggs, that was one of my first thoughts, and I'm sure Twitter exploded with that too.
Yeah, I wish Amanda was there for that, because I'm sure she's giving a lot of the same like sound bites and thoughts that she gave kind of on Are You the One, so I think like she would have said it here too.
I do have to say, just a quick aside that has no relevance or importance for me to say. So we're recording on a Friday, which is not our usual night, and I forgot that we were recording Friday, and I actually fell asleep at 8:00 p.m. like a third grader or a grandma on Thursday, woke up, or on Wednesday, woke up Thursday morning. Oh shit. Didn't watch the podcast. Don't have time between work and the show. Watched it at like 6 a.m. before work. Took notes. Did my best. Turns out we're doing it Friday. Anyway, the point is you might have to hold my hand a little bit through this.
That's like waking up on a Sunday and driving to school and sitting in class and be like, where is everyone?
Great analogy. Exactly. Remembered. I was so upset.
I like the dedication, though. Good job.
Anyway, so let's so help me out. What's next?
Corey and Cheyenne's sexual tension.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know I asked you what happened next, but Jennifer O'Hara has a question. Your questions are also keeping me on track, guys. So thanks to everyone who gives questions every week. So Jennifer O'Hara wants to know, how does everyone feel that Tony came off as a better game player than Camilla? Was that the response?
Also, when was it thought that Camilla was like a great game player? She's the one who just flips out and cries and yells at everyone.
Fair point. I mean, I just thought, and well, I mean, I guess the Tony and Camilla thing continues. We talked about the eggs, but where did you fall after all of this? Did you feel like Tony had legs to stand? Is it like pathetic?
I thought it was pathetic. Like, you're a 26-year-old father of two. Why do you need congrats?
In fairness, only a father of one at this point.
Fair. But he had to have a sense of second kid was coming.
Oh my God, there was a hilarious discussion in the thread for questions on Facebook. Even if you don't have a question, guys, it's fun to go check out what people are talking about. I forget who, but someone posted like, is it bad that I'm starting to sympathize? Or I like two of Tony's tweets, and Edward Morris wrote like, are you pregnant?
The Tony get like impregnating girls joke is never going to get old. Or at least it hasn't gotten old yet. Like, I use it once an episode usually.
Yeah, so I felt like here Tony was just like completely pathetic. As Camilla said, like, didn't I just hug the kid? So it was like, it was very confusing for Camilla. It was very confusing for me. I don't know. I mean, I guess we did see on Tony's season of The Real World, three different women stroking his ego.
Right.
So, I mean, now that he has like a half of a woman's, not that Camilla's half a woman, one woman's half attention, it's not enough.
Yeah, it wasn't like they just came off an elimination or something where she was like taking all the credit. Like, I don't even know where this came from. I just feel like it just like blossomed out of nowhere.
Tony's, I leave the Tony whispering to you. I feel like if anyone's going to understand him on the podcast, it's you. And right now that doesn't seem too hopeful.
No, not right now. Not in this moment.
All right. Sorry. So take us to Cheyenne and Devin. I had to stay with Tony for a little bit.
Yeah. So they had a cute little moment. Cheyenne saying, like, tell me what I want. And I was waiting for him to say, like, you want me. I don't know what he said after that, but they were giving each other a little sexy eyes.
It was so cute. That's the only note I have from 6 a.m. So cute. Like, yeah. Teen girl squad.
I'm shipping them.
Yeah, as is the rest of the world, the entire current cast of Are You the One, and probably the people at MTV.
Is there any word on if they're together?
Honestly, with this season, there's so much word on everything else that's happening. I'm happy to let this be a little bit more of a mystery.
I would say we would find out at a reunion, but who knows? Maybe we won't even have one. So who knows?
I mean, at this point, Nate and Nicole are like supposed to be so deep into the relationship on the show. I would say at this point, even if they hook up on the show, we may not see it.
Totally fair. We haven't seen them since they went on a fake date, right? Have they spoken to each other since?
Not that I can tell. And honestly, we'll get to it more, but I am so upset with this editing, because usually I feel like the more drama or party scenes we see on the challenge, it's usually as a result of like nothing else good happening. But there has to have been good strategy talk, and we have not seen any of it. It really feels like an episode of Are You the One?
I don't know. This week we got some strategy talk, and I feel like it was decent in game process.
We'll dig a little bit deeper, but we definitely missed critical elements, some of them potentially being Nicole and Nate's relationship.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We kind of just got the players that were involved in it. I would hope there would have been more discussion, but yeah, we can get to that decision.
Sorry, jumping in. So Devin basically calls his shot on every single person in the house.
Yeah, literally calls everyone out.
So he's the Oprah of your duns.
Yeah. You get a call out. You get a call out. Everyone gets a call out.
But yeah, I thought this was like pretty poor showing from Devin. And we had a bunch of questions about this. So where are they? Andrew Kirk says, is Devin trying way too hard to continue being the villain he was on Are You the One?
I would say he's definitely trying, but I feel like this is just who Devin is. Like, he even said it at the end when Cheyenne was like, you're just antagonizing everyone. He's like, yeah, that's what I do. I antagonize.
Yeah, I don't know. This isn't, it's not surprising for anyone who didn't watch Are You the One that he's doing this, but I feel like he was smarter on Are You the One, or he at least came across smarter. Like, this is legitimately stupid gameplay. I don't understand what his angle is. Unless it's purely, I'm going to go home, so I want to, as he said, make a splash.
I think it's part of that. I think he wanted to get hit to get someone else to go home. And I think it's like, for someone like this, I feel like it's easier for him to kind of wake up the next day, say he was just drunk, and then everyone kind of shake it off. Like, I don't know if this is the type of thing that people will necessarily hold over his head for like a long time.
Does Jamie, a.k.a. the eighth dwarf or the gnome from the Expedia commercials, what is it, shake things off? Like, I feel like Jamie was legitimately pissed off.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like it's going to be yesterday's news because something else is going to happen. If someone throws Jamie and Kellyanne in, then they're the target, or someone else is going to get in a fight. Like, I could see Kellyanne getting into a fight with someone, and then all of a sudden they're the target.
Did you think there was any setup at all to Kellyanne Jamie hookup?
They were getting a little close. I could have potentially seen it. I wouldn't rule it out.
Kellyanne was basically like, I'm have a lot of faults and Jamie stuck up for me and I would like to take off his little dwarf hat and the rest of his clothes.
Right. I would say of all the teams, they're probably one of the higher ones up the pecking order of who could potentially hook up with each other.
That's fair. Well, or I would say Devin and Corey, because Devin, I believe
Devin is
this was
hook up with Corey.
This was a sexual proposition. Anytime you want to do it, we can do it. I'm not afraid of you.
Corey was about to take his shirt off, so.
And it was so gentle. Corey's like, you don't have to be afraid. There was high sexual tension right there.
There's a whole new format for Battle of the Exes.
Yeah, there's some fan fiction for everyone.
There you go.
What's it called when people like, is that what it's called when people like draw things about people?
When they draw things?
What's it called when like people make that, when people make like Doctor Who
and their conclusions? What?
No. Like people actually make like, I don't know, like Harry Potter and Ron Weasley, like hooking up.
Yeah, I think it's fan fiction.
Okay. So that now that drop on Rob Has a Podcast has a whole new meaning.
maybe there isn't a time. I'm pretty sure it's just fan fiction.
All right. Get back to us, everyone. all right. So Cheyenne, oh, we have more questions. Sorry. Fernando Escamillo says, is Devin the official hardo of the season?
Yeah, this was a hardo night for sure. So
are you ready to declare him the hardo of the season?
For now, there hasn't been a moment that seemed harder than this, I guess.
Yeah, I can't contribute because I have never and have never since heard the term hardo.
It's a fake tough guy.
Yeah, from Massachusetts specifically, or as no, Jamie was explaining. I mean, understand.
It technically came from Boston because it's like a barstool term and they're from Boston. But it's just a fake tough guy. It doesn't have to be from Boston.
So keep us posted if anybody comes to dethrone Devin for the hardo title.
I'll keep my eyes peered.
And Cubes. The la- Cubed?
I don't know what I was trying to say.
I like it. Alex Kidwell says, am I the sole member of the Devin fan club? He's really beginning to remind me of a young Evan Starkman. And it got cut off, but Alex continued to say something like, when production has to tell you to stop antagonizing someone, you know, you're the shit. That's not what he said, but
right. Evan's a weird comp. I don't know that. I don't get that at all. I mean, I like Devin, but I don't see why him and Evan are similar. I mean, Evan's like twice the size of him.
Yeah, I don't have it. Based on this question, I don't think it's like an appearance thing.
Just like any personality wise, wasn't Evan like a kind of happy go lucky guy? I just remember him joking around a lot.
Well, Alex Kidwell is like a challenge encyclopedia. So I guess like you could tweet at Bus Driver's Route to further explain.
I guess he did kind of get like banned for having a toothbrush issue. So maybe it wasn't that happy go lucky. But
is he the sole member of the Devin fan club?
No, I'm in there. I think you're in there too, aren't you?
I feel fine about Devin. I just thought this was dumb. Like, usually I think Devin is more thoughtful and it's funny and it's more manipulative. Like, this, I genuinely think he just got drunk and was stupid.
Right.
You gave him like a little credit, which I could see, but like I'm giving him no credit, and may God have mercy on his soul.
I may be reading into it that he wanted to get hit. I mean, I don't know if anyone really wants to get punched in the face, but I don't think he would have been that upset if that was the result.
Yeah, that's fair. In the competition between Tony and Devin, because the next thing in my notes is Tony's like complete loss of his shit over a vibe. So I'm going to give Devin more credit than Tony. So I retract the zero credit. I'll give him 0.1 credit. Tony gets absolutely zero for this.
He's on the board.
I was thinking, I forgot. Sorry. 6 a.m.
Good job. Yay.
What?
I was quoting Camilla.
Oh. Because I had just gotten to the somber part of like the producer waking up Camilla. So you jolted me out of that.
I was still on Camilla's like weird like American accent of saying good job. Yay. Which is one of my favorite things she's ever said. I don't know why it's so funny.
I have to go back to that. I missed that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Camilla is like, and the same thing happens kind of later with Christina, is like, you're not going to get the reaction you ask for with Camilla. Like if you tell Camilla, like, I need you to tell me this, she's going to say the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah. There's no thought process controlling Camilla. You guys let Camilla be Camilla and she's going to be Camilla.
Truth. Truth bomb. Camilla's Camilla.
Big if true. Yeah. But then we find the very somber Camilla. And a cameo from Larissa.
I actually saw you tweet something about this, comparing it to the Brandon situation.
Right. Well, I just made a joke that Brandon's quitting because he's missing his girlfriend and Camilla sticks it out when someone in her family actually dies.
Yeah, this is a tough call here because Camilla says like, all right, I'm already going to miss the funeral. And I either just like go home and be with my family or I go home and be with my family, potentially $350,000 richer.
Right. I would have no problem with Camilla leaving. That would totally be an understandable response to this. Like, why would you want to be around these drunken lunatics when someone seemingly very close to you passes away? But it just shows like how weak Brandon is that he just wanted to go home.
Yeah. I mean, just to throw a bone to Brandon, although I totally agree with what you're saying. So this is even hard for me to muster up the courage to do. But like Camilla's chances to win are probably 60% higher than Brandon's were, and that's being conservative.
Oh, I would say they're infinitely better because Brandon had zero shot and Camilla has a shot.
Yeah, I don't do good at math, but I was thinking like Camilla doesn't have like that good of a chance. What I meant to do was not compare them directly, but to anyway, I screwed that up, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be less mean and more reserved. But yeah, Camilla has a chance to win. And as you said, Brandon had no chance. So if that's something, I think basically what happened was Brandon knew he wasn't going to win. So he was like, get me the hell out of here.
Sure. I guess that's possible. Still not a good reason to quit, folks. Stick things out.
Agreed. Because you get more money per week. Come on.
Yeah.
This isn't Ari the One.
Exactly. And how often you get a free trip to Mexico with probably really crappy food and living in a house with 25 people and only like 2 bathrooms.
And you hate all of the people there.
Sounds like a fun time.
One thing is, when we get to the challenge, I don't know about you, but I am now looking to TJ's shirt to tell me the future every single time I see TJ.
Totally agree. I was thinking back like, oh my God, was he wearing like a shirt of Camilla's grandma like 2 weeks ago? Because that would have been like really crazy.
It's so fucked up. Well done.
Wait, there was no one on this shirt that was of note, unless it's like the maker of the shirt. I don't think it was like a Torque shirt, because otherwise that'd be really bad for him.
Camilla's grandma needle pointed or embroidered the shirt.
Right.
Silk screen. Okay, enough jokes about Camilla's grandma.
Rest in peace.
So Spencer Parks is going to introduce this challenge by shitting on it. He says, was the cart flag grab the least interesting challenge in recent memory? I think we get it by now. The producers like to test their safety harnesses and watch the competitors fall from great heights. If this is the challenge quality we're going to expect going forward, I'd rather return to the awful format where we get a challenge elimination every few weeks. Boom.
That's totally fair. I wouldn't disagree with someone if they didn't like this challenge. The only reason, first of all, I didn't really even understand it until we were like 2/3 in. They're grabbing flags. I don't know what was happening, but I didn't mind it because it was sort of different. Not in the heights regard, because that's like every challenge, but like with the cart and grabbing stuff, it seemed a little different. So it was like, I didn't mind it, But I can, I'd be fine with if they didn't like it.
I agree in terms of, like, it didn't strike me as anything bad while I was watching it. But after I read Spencer's question, I really thought about it. And without the height drop off at the end, I mean, it was the same in terms of the heights, and it was the same in terms of, like, reaching over the edge to grab something like the skulls and whatever. But without the height element, it was like, take like one of those red cars with the yellow roof, like the play school car, like run it down to the edge and grab flags. Like, I think the true stupidity of this challenge was demonstrated when Jamie steps off of it and
rushed.
Is just on the platform grabbing flags.
He's just running. And I was actually really worried because I feel like that is how something really bad can happen. If you're like off and then the cart might hit you, and then what if it like unhooks something as it's like falling? Because I believe that's how something really bad can happen if you don't like do what you're supposed to do. So I didn't think he was going to die, but I like, in the moment, I would have been pretty scared if I was him.
The scariest fall for me was Christina and Nate's, and ironically enough, because they go on to win the challenge, but they kind of like went off the side of the cliff, and they're caught. Like, just the way they fell made me more nervous than Jay. I was just laughing, so I admittedly might have had my eyes closed during the end of Jamie's run.
Totally fair. But here's a question for you. Was the cart hooked in, or did it just always fall?
Because
I never really could figure that out. Did they have like a net at the bottom to catch all the carts, or were they just like falling on rocks or in sand?
Yeah, that's a good point, because you know they only sprung for one cart. So right. It had to be tethered. But yeah, I didn't see. Yeah, you're right. I have no idea.
I didn't notice if it like would, because then if it was tethered, like couldn't it like bounce up and then hit one of them in the face or something? Like, I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I have no idea. But a couple of things I was thinking about that I forgot. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, most of my notes are about Kellyanne. Oh, this is it. So one thing I will say to give credit to Tony is that he did a amazing upside down grab of a flag.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did. And that was a great slow-mo. MTV is very good with the slow-mo. I mean, they have very good practice with it because I do the shot every week, but it still was very cool seeing him in slow-mo, like tumbling upside down, grabbing a flag.
It was like almost upsetting to me. I like forgot how many points were needed. I was like, oh my God, Camilla and Tony come from to win. Like, her grandma died. He hates her. And then, oh no, sorry. Still Nate and Christina win.
Right. And I saw some people saying like, oh, if Nate and Christina can win a challenge, then it like shouldn't really be a challenge. I didn't have a problem with like a more goofy challenge where anyone can win. Like, I was fine with something like that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they made a good choice. Like, they got lucky, I think, in the order, because Cheyenne and Devin were actually the first team who had Devin go in the cart and Cheyenne push. So, like, most of the guys were doing the pushing when really you were probably in a better position to grab the more difficult flags if you were in the cart.
Right.
And the pushing was irrelevant. You didn't want to go fast. So
I'm surprised they even had them push. It should have just been like just like a roller coaster just moving. It was the weird.
A true bobsled.
Yeah.
True Cool Runnings moment.
Just have it like be like going down like a hill. Like, I don't even know why they're necessary to like paddle. That was.
No, I agree. It was pretty stupid. Because they end up, once you get past the red line, like they do end up just going down the hill.
Yeah. And everyone, like, I knew whoever was going fast was beyond stupid, because obviously you want to go as slow as possible to help you grab the stuff. But.
Yeah, so Cheyenne and Devin do it first, and then Nate and Christina follow suit afterwards. So who knows if they would have done that anyway or whatever, but they were in like a pretty good spot order-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the way their cart goes off the cliff weirdly probably helped them out get closer to the flag. So good job.
On a scale of not shocked at all to holy crap, Ashley driving a house into a driving a car into a house.
I'd be much more surprised if she drove a house into a car. But yeah, no, I know people have driven a car into their house. So to me, that's just like standard issue.
Yeah, me too. Not a house, but I know people drove into like a liquor store. So
I want to hear the full details of that story.
It sounds so much better. But the truth is, all it was is they thought the car was in reverse and it was actually in drive. So when they turned around to look to like back up and they put on the gas, it just went forward and went straight through the liquor store.
Now, that's what happened to the person I know who drove through a house, but they were like in their garage. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, no, what I heard was they were trying to rob the liquor store and you just don't hang out with pretty smart people.
That was their getaway.
Well, that's good. The more you know. This is one thing, though, and I ended up being wrong, but my immediate reaction when Christina and Nate win and Kellyanne and Jamie lose,
which is for the first time probably in challenge history, like, we knew immediately who won and lost. Like, they didn't even have to do a fake cliffhanger,
which was great. I think that was the best part of the challenge.
Yeah, it was just so clear.
I actually did think Nate and Christina deserved You Killed It that they never got.
Yeah, and they congratulated them a couple times. They just never really would give it to them.
I mean, if you're going to congratulate every single person for doing the challenge, then you definitely should congratulate the winners for winning it.
Yeah, and why was this one worthy of just congrats for doing it? They just sat on a cart and just fell off a cliff.
I will say he's only issued one You Killed It this whole season.
I feel like he knows that it's involved now in Fantasy League, so he's trying to not just give them out as quickly as possible.
Which I prefer, because I think last season he was giving them out again, like, well, like, how, I'm not going to compare it to Oprah, I'll compare it to Devin, mm-hmm. how Devin was giving out threats.
Right.
Anyway, sorry. So my first reaction to this was, this is exactly why you don't do what Devin did, even if you feel like you're down and out, because at any point, any team can win. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not how things shook out.
Yeah.
Fortunately or unfortunately.
You would think fortunately, but no, very unfortunately.
Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about with this whole power couple ordeal. I'm yes. curious to know where you fall on it.
I think it was an atrocious decision. And by all accounts, to throw in the two Are You the One teams. Absolutely okay, so atrocious.
I'll go to the it was a bad decision questions and ask you from Chris and Kinnar, which is the worst part of Nate and Christina's strategy? One, protecting the vets that will never have their back, or two, getting teams eliminated that are easy vote-ins?
Like easier that
like targets besides right. that?
Probably that, although I mean they're both really bad, so I mean they're just both bad reasons.
So why in general do you think this was a bad choice?
Because this is, I almost have more problem with how they went about it. Like, they didn't gain anything from this. How you, I mean, maybe they did and they just didn't show it, although I don't know why they wouldn't show it. How you don't call over the Bananas and Sarah and Wes and Nani and talk to each of them and try to work something out with both of them about, I won't throw in you if you don't throw in us and stuff like that. And all you do is call over Tony and Camilla just to air out why you didn't apologize is so beyond baffling to me. This is the only moment probably in their challenge history they're going to have any ounce of power, and they just didn't use it at all.
Yeah, and beyond the fact that the unlikely situation that they would have power, but the fact that the team going in is a veteran team, and it's not like, you know, Alyssa, Amanda, and Nelson automatically in, and then who goes against them? Or like right. an even weaker team in, and who goes against them? Like, you have basically a vet team, not the most powerful vet team, but a vet team in there, and you can throw two more in, or you can exactly. I don't know. My first instinct was they are playing survival mode. Like, they're surviving, they're not thriving.
They're playing very, it's a very scared move.
So they're hoping that, you know, if they can demonstrate loyalty to the vets, they'll the other team, Are You the One teams, will be the targets, and then they'll get the Jenna and Jay treatment, where they'll like survive as a layup when everyone else starts slitting each other's throats. Mm-hmm. But I will say that this is where I think my complaint from before comes in, where it's like, we are getting a disservice because we've been saying in the beginning, like, oh, we're just waiting till we get the story of the strategy. Like, oh, we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it. And here we are. We haven't gotten it. And we've gotten like one little nugget between Corey, Wes, and then Bananas, like throwing Wes in, Devin, you know, a couple little nuggets here and there. Mm-hmm. But here, basically, we're led to believe that Christina, just based on this chat that somebody obviously coached Camilla to have with her, is now not going to throw them in, when even throwing them in was probably a stupid idea. Like, I don't even think they were the best target to pick, Tony and Camilla.
Who would you have thrown in?
Well, wait, let's get to that. I just want to say, sorry, I'm going all over the place, but
No. There's a lot to unpack.
What we didn't see is exploring the relationship, the pre-existing relationships that Christina has with Tony, with Camilla, with Kellyanne, because remember, the whole Nani debate was because Camilla told Christina to trust her and Kellyanne. So clearly there have been conversations that have been had Kellyanne is now in the elimination. In the past eliminations, we've seen them talk to Johnny, talk to whoever about who they want in. I'm going to go to Twitter to help us out on what potentially happened that we didn't see. And I'm going to stall until I get there.
All right.
So here's just general reactions to what occurred from Twitter. Christina said, I am not in an alliance with someone based on what show they were on. That's stupid. Vince said, you're in alliance with me and Barbie Beast because we saw the potential in Are You the One team dreamed in the Are You the One dream team. Ashley tweeted, man, Are You the One? No loyalty. I guess Christina is just a smart player. That's all. Kellyanne said she had loyalty to me because we became friends over time, not some new kid she never spoke to. So Ashley said something hilarious, like, I'm glad you didn't go in. And Kellyanne was like, I did go in. Kellyanne said, thank you for not throwing Camilla in like I asked. Sorry that wasn't shown. Hashtag good friends. And then I'm bored by this. Christina said like some more stuff about her choosing her alliances at the point. It's game based. It's friendship she had with Camilla, not a mistake she made and not a show she's on.
What friendship with Camilla? I just don't understand that.
I guess that they have become friends. That's what I'm saying, is like a pure disservice has been done because we saw a hint of it with the Nani fight, but we didn't. They are not developing these alliances like they need to be doing.
But even just, I mean, like, yeah, but what they've shown, it just didn't, like, not once in their conversation was it like, we're good friends. Why didn't you just tell me? Like, I would have just, like, it didn't come across as they were friends at all.
Well, I feel like Camilla's in her, like, second round.
Well, she said something like, it's going back to last season, but Christina was on for one freaking episode. How much of a bond could they have had the whole time? And she was hooking up with Tony for most of it. So how could they have even gotten close then?
Yeah, again, I really just think it's a product of horrible, horrible editing this season that's put a premium on Devin lashing out at the club that will probably have no consequence, and sacrificing this clear alliance that's building between Kellyanne, Christina, and Camilla.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. That has to be it.
And so clearly a conversation took place between Kellyanne and Christina. Like, even if we just saw that, even if we just saw Kellyanne ask her not to put Camilla in, you know, like, we're supposed to believe that out of nowhere, Christina just, right, and Nate just decided not to put them
or
in.
Even a conversation of Kellyanne saying, like, this is who I want, just like for something, because it just makes no sense for them to throw in two teams that would have that wouldn't say them. Like, I even just from common sense, they just would not say their name.
I mean, if we're digging back to, like, we also saw Simone and Amanda confront Christina, like, we don't know who you're with. Who are you with? So, I mean, there were like scraps that we had to cling to. But again, I really do think there were like massive scenes that we just did not see in terms of the development of this. I actually don't doubt that they did have conversations with these powerhouses. And when you go back to the question, like, who would you have thrown in? So Sean Pino says, in your opinion, who should Nate have and Christina have voted in? And he said two strong vets might have been super dumb, putting a huge target on their back. And I went back and looked, and it's like every single person who's left besides Are You the One and Corey and Ashley are in that like weird incestuous knot.
Right.
And we still haven't established those relationships.
To me, I would have, without knowing further details of how close Camilla and Christina are, the move is Camilla and Tony. And then if you don't want to throw in Bananas, I guess, if you're worried about putting the target on him. And then if the Nate to Nicole to Nani connection means you're not going to throw in Wes and Nani, then I would have thrown in Corey and Ashley. I think that you're bringing three pretty good teams and you're losing one of them. And you just hope they hope Jamie and Kellyanne win.
I mean, the real thing is that Christina, well, if you don't hope Kellyanne wins, because if you don't do Kellyanne's bidding, like, there's no way Kellyanne would have been cool with going against Corey and Ashley, considering what a strong team they are. So, like, basically, it's not, I assume Kellyanne's preference was not just anyone but Camilla. It was, give me these Are You the One babies. And so you piss off, right, Kellyanne, you show allegiance to Are You the One. And Corey and Ashley are a strong ass team. They could win challenges. The thing Nate brought up is like, Are You the One's not winning challenges? So in terms of, yes, that would be a, it would be a big move. It would be like the Thomas, Dario, Corey alliance from Bloodlines, right? Where you're trying to like, you're the little engine that could against the big dogs who are actually going to win and you have no chance, but at least you tried. Versus the Jay and Jenna of like, well, I'll just ride this out and then I'll be the weakest team and come in third place.
I mean, look, there is, they could easily make it to third. If some reason, if the Camilla, Kellyanne, like if they're, if now and Nani and Nicole all won't throw them in, then they, yeah, they have a decent chance to skate all the way by. But if they ever want to have a chance to win, you got to knock out some of these other teams. And this was like their chance to do something.
What really pisses me off here is like there have to be conversations going on that we haven't seen that would help us understand where people are. We know that Bananas took a shot right at Wes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's distanced himself from Nani. So we can presumably say there's a Wes, Nani, Nicole, Dario situation. And that ties Nate in because Nate's not going to go against his new bae and go for Wes and Nani or Dario and Nicole. And then there's the Bananas faction, where it's Bananas, Sarah, Jenna, Vince.
But I don't even know if I think Jenna, like Vince is more with Bananas, but Jenna is definitely more with Nani. They're like, they're best friends.
Right. So, it, I mean, it's loose ties, right? So everyone's kind of tied together. Tony is like bros with Bananas based on Twitter. He's like obsessed with him. And Camilla has a relationship with both Nani and Bananas. And so it's kind of like, well, either way, you're taking shots potentially at every single target in the house. What I really do think is if this were last week or even the week before, like Johnny and Jessica, Thomas and Simone were like the prime targets for this situation to ride the middle, but they're gone. So, right.
I mean, really, it's it's those like what was it, like five or six teams that are all either strongly connected or loosely connected. And then it's just, are you the one? So like really the only team that's taken the true shot was Bananas taking a shot at West. But I mean, they so clearly hate each other. That's not even viewed as like a shot anymore because they're just always going to take a shot at each other. But all those, like, it'd be interesting when Vince and Jenna win, like, are they going to throw in Nani and West, or like what, like that's where the more intrigue comes from.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say that my first reaction was pissed off just because I always like to see the underdogs upset the veterans a little bit. But upon further review, I think Nate and Christina made a decent choice because you can't bank on when the Are You the One people are Devin and Cheyenne and Amanda and Nelson. You can't bank on them sticking around and winning and protecting you.
Right.
Your much better bet is going with the vets who are going to treat you like garbage, who are going to think you're small and puny and not a threat. And then you collect your 30 grand or whatever at the end.
Right. That there you can that I think that's their game plan is to try to ride it out and hopefully get to third. But if that's their game plan, I feel like they should not win again. Like them winning is only going to make things worse, not because people are going to think they're a threat, but as the Are You the One teams dwindle down, then they're actually going to have to start making decisions. So, I mean, I don't think they'll even have a choice if they win again. But if they can, I just would not win again.
No, that's fair. But I mean, I just think in that situation, you do exactly what they did, which is ask Kellyanne and Camilla what they want. You know, do someone else's bidding. If you're going to play the scared sidekick, then we can't even break this down because we don't know who the power is. But just go with the power and do their bidding.
Right.
And just get, you know, they're playing for third place at best.
Yeah, seems to be what they're doing.
All right, I think that takes us to the actual skull pick, right? Do we have anything else?
I think we covered it all. So I love that Tony said that he would have thrown himself in too. That was the only thing
was great.
Yeah. And the one line that Camilla said, which was hysterical, she was like, people will say anything to get out of elimination, while she was saying anything to get out of elimination.
Yes, exactly. People say whatever it takes. I'm so sorry about the token.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
elimination.
So the mystery solved there.
Yeah. Someone actually finally pulled a black skull for the first time this season. Amanda pulls it.
So it's Amanda Nelson versus Kellyanne and Jamie. And you know, I don't explain the challenges.
Sure. It's a chill out. So you have to sit in an ice bath for 1 minute. And then you get the 2 minutes to solve a puzzle slash Jenga game. And then you keep going back and forth until you solve it. And if you get out of the ice bath, TJ makes it very clear that is quitting. And he will put you on your shame list and you go home in disgrace.
So speaking of that, Daniel Shelley said, did anyone think that the tower couldn't be stacked past the mark and it was just going to be an endurance comp of who could take the most ice baths? It crossed my mind.
I didn't think so because, I mean, you're only in there for a minute. I feel like no one would ever quit.
That's a long time. Have you ever gotten a wax hand done?
I've not.
You have to put your hand in that ice for like 10 seconds and it is like the worst thing that ever happened.
Yeah, I guess it's a possibility. I don't think they didn't think that it couldn't end like that. I think that it was a possibility that someone would quit. I mean, I wish we knew how many times they went in back and forth. That they should have like numbered that. I would like to know that.
What do you think? So I pulled this question because what would you think if they did a challenge like that, that was like actually impossible to solve? And it was just to see how long it would take someone to quit.
I mean, they not that they did it like did similar to that, but the challenge they did elimination a couple years ago when Big Easy quit and there was them like going in and out of water. It seemed like it was designed for someone to quit and then Big Easy quit before he basically died. So I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
And my other grievance with this is, can we stop on the challenge calling things puzzles that are not puzzles? I actually had to confer with puzzle master advisor to the stars, Colin Stone, who helped Spencer win a critical challenge on Survivor. Anyway, was like, let me know if I'm wrong about what a puzzle is, but I'm about to go ham on this podcast explaining how furious I am that now for the second time this season, we're calling a task a puzzle.
Yeah, this is not, I feel like a puzzle is just something, it has to end with things in an order.
Which just has to be solved, right? There was no one right way to do this. This was a task. Stack this, make, it's like calling a house of cards a puzzle.
Yeah, this was not a puzzle. Although those things last week weren't tokens either, so who knows?
So Jamie had an interesting strategy for this in the bath.
Yeah, he's gonna go go pee on in the bath, and Kellyanne was okay with me.
So Eric Stein, who again, Eric Stein, I need to know if this is the real Eric Stein or if this is
the real Eric Stein. Please stand up. Please stand up.
The wheel Eric Stein.
I started to mispronounce it. I just went with it.
I loved it. It's important to me. Yeah. Never say the right word again. Anyway, Eric Stein, consider this a formal invitation to join us on the podcast. If we have to kick Brian out, we'll kick Brian out. It's fine. It's fine.
I'll take the bullet. I'll go sit in the ice bath.
All right. So how would you feel about your partner peeing in the tub? Kellyanne seemed to take it shockingly well.
I don't think I would take it that well. Although if it really like numbs you that hard, I don't think I would even be able to pee. But I don't know.
I'm not going to tell you that I didn't think about that. First of all, my reaction to this was, wow, that's a genius. And it might be because it was like, now this was approaching closer when I had to leave for work. So I was really in a rush. But it was like, oh, my God. And I'll give you guys a little TMI. I was a competitive gymnast through high school and everyone has like pre-show, you know, competition rituals. I would not go to the bathroom because it would allow me to run faster, keep my legs tighter together, straighter. Like that was my tradition. So assuming I'd be on the challenge, I'd probably do the same thing. So I'd be ready to go is my point.
Who was it? Oh, my God. There was two seasons ago, right? Wasn't it like Cook or Cara Maria who was literally peeing during the challenge? Didn't that happen?
I got in trouble last week for confusing Cook and Cara Maria, so I shouldn't speak to this.
I really think it was I want to say it was Cook who was just like peeing herself during a challenge. The corrections department will let me know because I vividly remember this happening. Not vividly, obviously, because I can't remember who it was, but I remember someone peeing on themselves.
Yeah, it was. So I Googled peeing during a challenge MTV, and there was an MTV news article called In Honors of Cook's Impatient Bladder.
There you go.
And it said, here are four more bodily function blunders from the challenge. You can check that out.
Only four?
Just four more. This was only 2013.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought it was genius. It's pretty damn cold. If he can muster out some pee, I mean.
Yeah, good for him, I guess.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
If that makes me gross, so be it.
We never got worried.
Prefer it.
We never got worried if he did it. Like, they never said afterwards, oh, good job peeing on me. He really kept me focused.
Well, because the real person who deserved the congratulations for their win was Amanda Nelson.
Yeah, this goes back to the old show we're not supposed to talk about, but people talk about anyway, Survivor, notion of people cheating off each other during non-puzzles tasks.
Yeah, and it comes up during the challenge, too. We talk about, like, more recently, we'll notice teams, like, flipping over their puzzle. Like, it even happened with the build a bridge or build a house on last week's episode where they, like, you notice a couple of them, like, flip the whole thing over when they're leaving. What do you make of this?
This is almost worse, though, because I never have a problem with people, like, peeking over and looking over. But during a challenge elimination, there's a peanut gallery. And it seemed like that's how they found out. Like, Bananas and other people were just yelling, like, turn them over. Look, turn them over. And that I'm not a fan of.
Well, that becomes part of your social game, right? So if you have people telling you what to do, it's because they want you there for whatever reason.
I'm surprised they even allow that, thinking back on it. Like, why do they let them give instructions?
Because I think they care more. They don't care as much about the integrity of the game as they do the television show. And it's a much more interesting show, especially when these challenges are somewhat boring, to have people screaming to see, like, oh, is your ally going to cheer for you? Or they, like, you're kind of establishing ties by who you're cheering
for. Right. That's true.
But yeah, I mean, once Nelson tried to stack like 1,000 spacers, you knew they were in trouble. That was like, I knew they weren't winning when he did that.
Yeah, that wasn't looking good. It's why didn't they turn their last plank like sideways?
Vertical? Like,
yeah,
up
vertical.
Yeah, I guess he would have to freestand.
Ever say that you needed like a count of three?
It definitely had to be freestanding. You can't just hold it like that.
No, but like just get it up there for like a second. I don't know. That was my thought.
I think it was going to fall. I'm sure they like had some kind of time. Colin Stone actually asked why they didn't stack it like House of Cards style the whole time using those. So he questioned whether or not you're even allowed to use the planks vertically.
Maybe you weren't.
But I think you were. I just think they didn't think of it. It seemed like if you could use the discs like that, like why couldn't you use the planks?
Right. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this because Amanda Nelson got a head start using the vertical discs. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like Kellyanne and Jamie did it better. So if you're going to take their idea and do better, then you still won.
Yeah, it was actually a really close finish for a rare elimination. Normally they're not that close, but it seemed like it was very close.
Yeah, no, I think Nelson and Amanda are a pretty good physical team.
Yeah, Amanda is the type. She like screams and yells a lot, but like underneath a lot of what she says is secretly like a lot of sense. Like I think she's actually like a pretty smart person, but just comes across as like a complete raving lunatic that it's hard to like pay attention to it. Because she makes a lot of good points whenever she like calmly says stuff.
It is like what Amy and Haley talk about on the Bachelorette Rehap Up, which you should definitely check out. They talk about how Chad, who's the villain this season on The Bachelorette, who says some crazy shit. Basically, if you like listen to what he's saying, it makes a lot of sense, but he's just saying it the wrong way at the wrong time.
Oh, I agree with Chad like 75% of the time.
Yeah, that's it. Haley always is like, yeah, I mean, what Chad's saying is completely right, but like maybe don't say that then and yell
it. The problem is like Amanda, then he follows it up with, oh, I'm going to rip their limbs off and throw them in the pool. And then Amanda would be like, oh, I'm going to like cut you, bitch. And then it's like, oh, all right, well, I can't really support you. You're saying like stuff like that. But you had me until then.
I think we found Amanda's perfect match.
Yeah, Amanda and Chad.
So Edward Morris wants to know, aside from that, well, he didn't say aside from that, but did Nelson and Amanda really bring anything to the show? And
what?
I think you could tell by the wording of this question what Edward Morris thinks of them.
Amanda was amazing. Amanda was great. She was like an MVP for like an episode and a half.
Yeah, I think Amanda brought a lot to the show. I don't think Nelson really brought a lot to the show. And that kind of leads into the next question. Nick Sabetta says, so Amanda's definitely coming back for future seasons. What about Nelson, though?
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, if they do the real world versus Ari the One, he's probably the strongest guy they've brought in from Ari the One. And from all accounts, he seems like a pretty likable guy. So I think they can use that. Like, he's kind of like the I don't want to go down because Leroy is like one of the best people ever. But he's sort of like the Leroy-esque from Are You the One?
Whoa. The only thing I'd say about Leroy is, yes, I think there's a need for a strong African-American male in casting. And the fact that they just keep going back to Leroy, basically, wouldn't mind having Leroy and Nelson both start on the same season, not just sub out for each other, right, you know, right. Whatever. But other than that, I mean, we're not putting Leroy anywhere near Nelson.
No, no. Very, very different. I'm just, if you're looking for the comp, like, that's his upside.
No, I, well, the thing about Nelson is I think he showed potential to get hot on Are You the One. And I don't think they needed him to light it up right now, basically. So we didn't see what he really did, but he performed well.
Amanda was lighting it up for him.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that if they need to go back to the well on a, like, half the season, be Are You the One, he's a strong contender. Would I care if I never saw him back? No. Yeah. Would I be upset if he came back? No.
Yeah, he's meh.
Emily Crow says, this season seems to have no solid alliances. It's all just completely depends on who the power couple is. Are You the One teams are throwing each other under the bus, Banana sent to Nani with no backlash. Do you think anyone has a long-term plan?
I would think so. I mean, definitely Wes. I mean, he overthinks what happens when people go to dinner together. So he definitely, he's thinking things out. And I think Sarah and Banana definitely are thinking things out there. They both do that. So I would assume there's some type of end game goal going on for some people. I mean, I even think Christina and Nate have an end game goal. Their end game is just to get to the end game with whoever the hell is left. They don't care because they're just going to start.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's a result of no one having made deals. Like, I really just think we're not seeing it. There's just no way that those are the only three teams. Obviously, everyone talks to everyone when they're the power couple, and they just show us the most important conversations. But I just can't believe that these were the most important conversations. And if you think about it, someone did correct us last week. I'm sorry, I forget who it was, that apparently Nani didn't get mad at Bananas because it was known that Nani, Camilla, and Wes had an alliance that Bananas was not a part of. And so by that logic, Bananas is kind of an island with just Vince and Jenna.
Yeah. And I mean, Jenna's like definitely at least 1 foot out.
Yeah, so I don't know. Why are we not seeing this? I can't keep saying that. I'm just really upset about it.
The problem is we need one of those teams. We need someone. We need like Jenna and Vince to win when they can't just, all right, let's just throw in two Are You the Ones. Because for now, like, those teams are just taking the easy way out. There's like, oh, let's just, all right, Nelson, Amanda, Corey, and, or not, like, Thomas. Like, Thomas and Simone are kind of like an Are You. Well, Simone's Are You the One, and Thomas, not really connected to anyone, so they're always like an easy team. Like, we need to get down to lower numbers, really.
I just think we had that opportunity. Like, there's no reason that token gate shouldn't have exposed. Like, Christina and Camilla could have been fighting. Like, I thought you were my friend. You told me to trust you. I was with you and Kellyanne. Right. Damn, where's the damage control? And then where's the conversation with Kellyanne and Christina? Like, all of this happened. I mean, these people are actually doing strategy. It's not like on Are You the One where we're like, maybe these conversations just aren't even happening.
Right. And I'm sure they talked to more people at the power couple dinner. At least I would hope they talked to more people.
No, but they did. That's what we're saying. Like, oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, Liz Irwin says, finally, what is wrong with me? I missed having Johnny and Sarah on this week. Does pairing Johnny with Sarah make him more likable to me? Can someone explain to me what is happening to me?
Welcome to the Banana Land Club. Hop on board.
This is not me being shady, because I do think at least last season, or maybe it was even earlier this season, that I did say, like, where's Banana? You know, I think last season I said, like, he's necessary, or I don't know, something nice. I didn't think about him this episode. The only thought I did have in reflection is, like, why didn't Christina make an on-air deal with Bananas? Right. Kind of like exactly what you were saying. But in terms of missing him for entertainment value, I didn't really miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. He hasn't brought much, really, this season. Other than just, like, competing well. But that's really been it.
Did you notice his absence?
I mean, I always notice it, but I wasn't like, oh, cut to a Bananas already. I mean, they were fine.
Will Simon, who has been tracking the confessionals.
I noticed the Jenna absent more. Like, up her confessional count. Come on.
Okay, someone tweeted at me, like, does it have to be Jenna watch? Did she do something funny in the background? I wrote back and they never responded.
She tweeted something very cryptic.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get to it. Very depressing that she tweeted that. I'm trying to pull the thing I wanted to say about the confessionals. Where are you, Will? All right, I tried. Whatever. I think Bananas had no confessionals. The point. I was going to try to see what he'd been doing this season. Here it is. All right, so Bananas had 9 confessions last week and 0 this week. So that just goes to your point of last week. Like, you really can't track their presence in the episode.
Right. And didn't, I remember saying, like, I saw Amanda had like 11 this week, but Nelson had just one, right?
Yeah, Will pointed out that Nelson was dangerously close to saying nothing before he left. The one was probably like his exit.
Yeah, I think that was it. Just saying like, we're best friends now, which is probably a complete load of shit.
I don't know. I believe it. They were like, they had each other's back.
There's no way they're texting each other to hang out unless they live like 5 minutes from each other. So
I think it's more BS that they were considered rivals than they're considered friends leaving.
I just think they should just be nothing. Like, they're just acquaintances. Like, that's what they are.
That would have been zero confessionals for Nelson. He was like, we're leaving indifferent.
We came in indifferent. We're leaving indifferent. We'll stay indifferent.
All right. Here's a critical thing. I actually did successfully avoid the mid-season preview. However, we got so many comments about it that I was not able to avoid what was in the mid-season preview. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going back and just watching it to talk to you about it.
Okay, good, because I watched it too.
I knew you'd watch it. But your low moral code has nothing to do with what decisions I make. So thanks to everyone who spoiled it. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, if they're going to release it as the previously on, I mean, whatever. Derek Boucher said end of podcast talk, which I appreciate. Thank you for letting me know where this goes. It does help.
Everyone should do that. And next time people put like 25 minute mark, put this right here.
That rest of season preview was that. Oh, this was corrected. It was not Nicole and Jamie. It was Nicole and Nate. How will the take it all or 50-50 work? Would anyone really do that? Cough. Maybe that's why Sarah really hates bananas again.
That was my theory too.
Well, explain this for anyone who didn't watch.
So, I mean, they didn't really. So I guess they did kind of explain it, but basically, at some point, we would assume at the end, obviously, that either the winning team or maybe all three teams would have the option to split whatever prize money they get or try to get it all and leaving the other person with nothing.
Yeah, well, all we really hear is TJ say, exactly, you can split it or you can take it all the money for yourself.
Right.
But I will say I would be wary of this, not that, but in terms of everything else shown in the midseason recap or preview, there was a scene that appeared to be between Nicole and Nani where you never saw them actually talking to each other. They cut to Nicole and played Nani bitching, and then they cut to Nani and played Nicole bitching. I guarantee that was not a fight between Nani and Nicole.
You're probably right.
I watched it like twice because I was like, oh, that was so bad editing.
Yeah. Of all the things that are not canon, MTV previews are not canon.
All right. So what do you make of this 50-50 friend or foe bachelor pad bit?
It's very, very intriguing. And as we discussed pre-air, this is what we discussed this as a possibility to something to add to the show.
Yeah, I believe Mike Bloom, who was our guest last week. Thank you, Mike Bloom. Asked us a question like, how would this go? And we discussed it in depth last season, their season before. I think maybe when we thought it was going to be a rival, so maybe it was that season.
No, I think we said for Bloodlines they should do it.
Oh, okay.
Because that would just like tear families apart.
And I'm excited about this possibility. I'm not going to get my hopes up too much. And I think we can talk about it more like when it's actually happening, but right. I'm excited. What do you think?
I'm very intrigued. I mean, they kind of hint that it will happen in some degree. I mean, they say the most explosive moment, but who the hell even knows with them sometimes. But I am very intrigued. And it does open the possibility of the Banana Sarah thing escalating even more. Because again, as I said, I think I said this last week, I don't see how, like, what would happen to cause her to hate him so much and him stealing $125,000, how much from her, that would probably qualify.
I look forward to debating or agreeing with you, but just debating in general, the whether or not what Sarah did to Bananas justified Bananas doing this to Sarah. Oh, I look forward to our inevitable conversation.
I cannot wait for that confessional for Bananas being like, haha, see, this is what you get. Can't wait for
He's
that.
He's such
one.
A little bitch.
I can't wait. Sorry. That's gonna be a great confessional.
All right, before we get to this week's tweets, anything else on the episode?
Just the one confessional from Jenna saying she can't deal with cold pools. I sympathize. Cold pools suck.
Nice. Yeah. I miss that. I was brushing my hair or something. Yeah. A little teaser for the next Are You the One podcast. I have a fantastic bit of drama, but I'll save it for when it applies. So more on that in 2 weeks.
Does it involve Paris?
It does involve Paris, but okay. Now you just told everyone where to go, Brian.
Okay. I mean, does it involve Nate?
All right. So a couple of things. So CT had an interview with MTV about him potentially coming back. And he basically said no, but like never say never. I miss it, but no, but I love it, but I miss it, but no. And Jemmy, both of these people seemingly retired. Jemmy tweeted or was tweeted at by Adam Tucker, said, "Where are you at? You already lose or something?" And Jemmy wrote,
"That's an hysterical tweet."
And Jemmy wrote, "I'm on a break. Don't play. We both know if I was there, you would be watching every episode twice."
Everyone tweeted Jay asking, "Where are you at? Did you quit already?" Do that. Everyone.
All right. Can I just say that this is a Ross Geller moment? Like, now Jemmy first said she was done. Now she's saying we're on a break. Like, I need to know if there's a possibility of Jemmy coming back to the challenge.
Yes, because I would love her back.
That's all I have on that so far. Now I have okay, so let's talk about Jenna. As you said, Jenna tweeted, "Sorry guys, wasn't my season. You'll find out why soon. Eye roll, eye popping emoji."
It's gotta involve Zach, right?
Or does it involve Vince getting sent home?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Oh, was Vince warned? I guess he was. Yeah, he was warned. That's right. All right, so that can be it. I was thinking maybe he just finds out.
Letting you get there.
It took me a little while. It could be that. Could be that she finds out Zach's been cheating on her.
Yeah, look, we get a phone call in like every episode. I would not mind a phone call where Zach decides, like, let me on air confess my cheating.
Yeah. I have to imagine, just going back to that, to hear a producer saying to you to call one of your family members, that has to just be the scariest thing in the entire world.
Oh, 100%. Hundo. Hundo hardo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so back to this Nate bullshit. Nate did one of those, like, I type a message and then I tweet it out because I have too much to say. He said, "So we made a stupid choice because we didn't get revenge on Camilla. Ha ha. Do you people realize that we throw Tony and Camilla in, they lose, cool, but now we have Bananas and Vince coming after us for sending their allies in elimination," which is not the same story we've heard. "But if Tony, Camilla win, now they come back, and now we have Tony, Bananas, and Vince voting us in if they win the next challenge, which between those three teams is about a 90% chance. Or we throw in Nelson and Amanda, they lose, we good, they win and come back, they have us to win a challenge, and they have to win a challenge to throw us in. Okay emoji, thumbs up emoji." Oh my God, that was like exhausting to have to read. Then Amanda went ham.
Oh, shocking.
I don't, honestly, couldn't even tell from Twitter, like with the timestamps, what order these were in. But she said, "Lol, okay, Nate, you're a flip-flopper, but glad we are all now on the same page. Until next challenge, middle finger emoji, pound emoji." Which I don't know if that was like a pound or a punch in the face.
Probably a punch in the face.
"If your team won a challenge, believe me, anyone can win a challenge. Lol, so don't say a team that can't help you." I will say that Amanda and Nelson are probably just as likely, at least, as Nate and Christina to win.
Probably the likelihood is not too far apart.
Then Nelson decides to go back to the only tired line he has, which is, "From what I can recall, you couldn't even jump out of a damn plane. This game ain't meant for P star star star." Then Amanda continues, "You're saying now you never had an alliance with Are You the One 3? Since when does being on a different season matter? Lol, it was an Are You the One alliance. But whatever, what's done is done. Just was annoyed seeing you justify yourself now, but was totally against it back then." She continued, "Haha, if I remember correctly, Christina told me and Simone she had our backs sitting on the stairs during the club rival night." Chin scratch emoji. It was dot 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 chin scratch emoji. And then, "And Nate Siebes, don't find excuses now. Remember the talk we had? You told me this was all Christina's decision, not yours, so don't even," which I completely believe.
Yeah, seems very likely.
All right, but that's I'm literally exhausted from like playing Nate for a second. Whew.
Come back to yourself.
All right, quick score update. Thank you again, as every week, to Megan and PJ, who constantly remind me of things that happened that I forgot to score. So I could not do it without you both. Kind of a slow week. It was slower when I originally scored it because I forgot a lot of stuff happened. And you gained a net 10 points because Christina won the challenge for 10. You gained 10 for Cheyenne escaping elimination, but you lost 5. I'm sorry. You gained 5 for Cheyenne, but lost 5 for Kellyanne. I gained 10 for negative physical conduct on Corey's behalf. I ended up deciding I forgot that this occurred. Corey goes in for a big old shove in the club on Devin. Devin does stick a hand back, but then it cuts out and I have Devin and Corey and I'm pulling away from you. So I'm just going to give myself points for Corey. Nate gets 10 for winning the challenge, but then I lost 5 apiece for Nelson, Amanda, Jamie, and I gained another 5 for Devin. So, and anyway, that's a net game of 10 total after all that. So I have a total of 115. You have 95. I think we should make another wager because that was when it was fun. But I don't know what to wager.
What could be something for next week? I mean, we could do a long-term wager of does someone try to screw someone over, but that's like not going to pay off.
It's too set up. It's too set up.
That's not so smelly.
Should we bet on whether Vince goes home for whether Jenna goes home first as a result of Vince or finds out that Zach cheated on her?
Yeah, sure. I'll take the Zach cheating.
All right, perfect. I wanted Vince. All right, so let's make it interesting. Let's do 10 fantasy points.
Okay.
No odds.
Yeah, no odds. No odds.
Right, I'm writing it down. 10 points. You get them from me if Zach cheating comes to light.
Mm-hmm.
And I get them from you if Vince and Jenna get kicked out.
Right.
Not if they like just go home.
Yeah.
One gets points.
Vince getting kicked out for fighting. Yeah.
All right. I wrote it down. So it is decided.
It is decided.
Last thing for me. And then I'm never talking again for the whole weekend. I plugged this on Are You the One. I'm just going to plug it again for the last time. Mike Bloom and I, who was a guest last week, did a really fun Tony podcast. The audio link is my pinned tweet at Lash Tweets. Mike's also tweeted about it at A Mike Bloom Type. The YouTube is a little further down. If you're interested in seeing the YouTube, just holler at your boy or me. And I'll let you know, we actually can't track how many people have downloaded the audio version. So if you like it, if you hate it, there's no place to comment.
It's probably,
let us know.
It's probably 2 million. That's probably
No. You don't need to talk shit to us. All I'm saying is, you know, feel free to let us know if you like it, if you didn't like it. We had a lot of fun. We'd love to continue the conversation. I don't know if I said that it was about the Tonys. It was a 2-hour Tonys discussion.
Not the Tony. Tony's.
No, the Broadway Awards. Big. So if you checked it out and you want to talk about it, we're around.
That was creepy.
Good. You don't have to be scared.
I'm petrified.
That's officially it.
All right. So next week, episode 8, you can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/challengeitunes. Also check out, again, the Are You the One podcast. As Ali said, we're doing that bi-weekly, so we'll be back after episode 3. You can follow me on Twitter, at BusDriversRoute, and follow you.
At LashTweets.
That will do it. Until next week, have a good one.